Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure, as always. We're still trying to get our hands on Jim Lardner. We're having a little technical difficulty connecting up with him, and so we're working on that. But in the meantime, I want to continue to talk about this topic, this issue of Americans in debt. And it is an issue, and it's something that what I want you to pay attention to is who the people who have some control over these issues try to blame. And of course, I'm talking about politicians, because they actually have some of the control over this issue. They have control over regulations. And one of the things that I think Mr. Lardner points out in his book is that deregulation is what has created part of this problem. But I'm going to go back a little farther, and I'm going to take us back a little bit farther than that and point out the societal issues that have gotten us into this situation. Way back in the early 70s, we started having significant inflation. And when inflation started growing, that's when we had houses were going up 10% a year, for example. Prior to that, for several decades, actually, maybe many decades, prior to that, a young family could save some money, and they could save up a down payment on a house, and they could, over a 4 or 5 year period, rent for a while, save a down payment, and then they could put that money down. That would be their 20% down on an 80% mortgage, and they'd buy a house. It's a historical scenario, because that's just how the American dream basically got started, was through the mortgage industry, by making houses through the deposits of others, and the investments of others, making finances available to people to buy homes. Well, what happened in the 70s because folks, I lived this. I had a young family back in those days, a very young family, and so I looked at what was going on, and I realized that if I saved money to get my down payment, by the time I 4 or 5 years went by, the house that I wanted would no longer be affordable to me, and the money I was saving. Was not going to catch up with what the down payment was going to require. In fact, one scenario that I know very well, I went ahead and borrowed on the side. I borrowed, I had $200 in my pocket when I came out of the Army. And so I borrowed almost 100% of my mortgage. And now the rest of the 20% I borrowed as a side note. I paid that off over 2 years. And then after 5 years, I had $11,000 in equity in my home. A friend of mine wasn't going to do that, so he decided he was going to do it the old-fashioned way. He was going to save. 5,000 years ago, he'd saved enough to make a down payment on a house, but he had not been in the marketplace. He had not owned any real estate. So at that point, he was just starting his real estate investment, and I had an $11,000 equity that I put in my second house. So you can see what inflation was doing in those days. Inflation was making people go ahead and make purchases. It was getting people to go ahead and make purchases, maybe even in advance of when they ordinarily would have, because it was cheaper really to borrow the money and to buy what you needed or what you wanted than it was to wait until you had the money, because by the time you saved the money to buy it, the price was already out of your reach again. So that was, I think that was an event. That was something that went on back in the 70s. And that has cascaded, has snowballed, has rolled into where we are right now, where my whole generation, my whole baby boomer generation is completely comfortable with and accustomed to debt. And I really do mark it back in the 70s when inflation was so high that it was literally cheaper to borrow the money or even if it wasn't cheaper, you could never outrun inflation, the inflation rate, with your savings rate. So if you wanted to have a television, if you wanted to have a dishwasher, if you wanted to have another house, you weren't going to be able to save enough to outrun inflation. So you might as well go ahead and borrow the money. And so as I say, so what has happened is the entire society, basically, has become very accustomed to debt. And then, of course, we already had credit cards. Credit cards began back in the 1950s or so. Citi, I think, was the, who was it? Not Citi, Diners Club, I think, was the very first one, which became Citi. And anyway, so we already had credit cards, but we didn't have a proliferation of credit cards that really started in the 70s and the 80s. And so then there were so many other things that happened. The next thing that happened with big thing that happened with debt was the junk bond issue of the early 80s. And then concurrently with that was the real estate investment craze, the syndicated real estate programs, Regulation D investments that happened in the 70s and the 80s, that resulted in the S&L crisis, the S&L meltdown of the late 1980s. That was what caused that. It was debt on a bunch of investments that probably should never have been made. So we do have this history with debt, don't we, in the United States? But it's a good thing and it's a bad thing. You know, you bring it all the way up to this. Now we have the subprime meltdown, and this is a deregulation of the mortgage industry that has created this thing. But remember this, folks: for every lender who stays in business, there is a borrower. There's two sides of a transaction. It's sort of like when a couple gets divorced. You know, whose fault is it? Well, it's usually many times not 50-50 maybe, but 49-51. So whenever we point the finger at the lenders, remember we got three fingers coming back at us. 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. I'll be right back. Break the silence. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and that's where you can find the show, all the different ways you can listen to the show. Don't forget, we have a time machine there. It'll actually let you go back. We can't go forward. It's not that kind of a time machine. It's a pretty good one, but it doesn't go forward. It only goes backwards. And you can go back and listen to past interviews all the way back to 99. Find the category that's on your mind and go listen to one of our experts and I have to say about that topic. And you can podcast it too. We'll let you take fair use possession. And then, of course, don't forget to check out the Brain Trust members are there. The articles, thousands of articles, along with the thousands of archives. And then, of course, you can subscribe to my free newsletter, which comes every Sunday by email in the afternoon on Sunday. And then we got our blog, which we update every weekday. And then don't forget our knowledge base, askjim.biz. That's where you get small business answers now. And no barrier to entry, by the way, when you come to our websites. You get there and we'll let you come in and hang out with us and use our stuff. Okay, I'm talking about, it's just you and me, and I'm talking about this debt issue, this Americans and this the debt situation that, you know, that we all have. And, you know, the last point I made as we went to the break is that when you point a finger at somebody, you know, the old thing about three fingers are pointing back at you. I think that's really apropos for what's going on right now. Nobody ever held a gun to anybody's head and said, sign this loan, sign this mortgage, sign this note, take this credit card. Nobody ever did that, ever. You could say, well, but they made it so easy. Well, yeah, okay, lots of things are easy, but you can choose to turn them down. You can make the decision yourself to turn them down. So the one thing that does worry me, and I have to, I'm serious about this. I'm worried that in order to pander to you and me as voters, that our government will muck up the lending institution, the lending infrastructure. We've got the greatest capital markets in the world, in the United States. Now, does it have flaws? Absolutely. Are there stupid people? Are there people up there who have absolutely no concern for you and me, our well-being? They have nothing on their mind but greed. Absolutely. Are they the majority of those? Are the majority of the people doing this in that industry like that? Absolutely not. But some of them are. And those are the ones that get the big headlines. And then you and I get involved. And you know, if I can afford a $100,000 house and I buy a $200,000 house and then the walls come tumbling down in a couple of years, is that all somebody else's fault? No, it's not. It's my fault too. And so that's a lot of what's happened. There are plenty of other things to go. There's plenty of other blame to go around. But the thing that... The other thing that is part of this is our consumer economy. You know, I mean, think about one of the ways that this country has grown to the degree that we have, and that we have the standard of living that we have, is because of the consumer economy that we've created. And the consumer economy, the part of the backbone of the consumer economy is the our capital markets, including the lending institutions. That's exactly right. And, you know, if you've ever traveled in other parts of the world, Americans, I think you love visiting those other countries, as I do, but I think you'll see that things are different. And I think you're going to find it that as Americans, you like your stuff. And how do you get your stuff? A lot of your stuff is acquired by borrowing the money to get it and making payments. It's just the way we've been doing it. Is it a great system? Maybe not. It's the one we have, and we seem to like it. And you know, are there times then when things get out of hand? Absolutely. But isn't it like that for everything? We have to remember that debt is like anything else. It has good things about it that we like, and it has things about it that we don't like. You know, I remind people that we love our automobiles, don't we? But do you know how many people die in automobile accidents every year in America? 42,000. Think about that. That is the equivalent of a jumbo jet going down, all souls lost, every 3 days or 4 days. That's what that amounts to. And so what would happen? You know, if that were happening in the airline industry, right? But yet we seem to accept the fact that there's 1 in 87 chance. I saw this the other day. 1 in 87 chance you could be in a car wreck in any given year and lose your life. I mean, that's a lot of folks. 42,000 people die every year in cars, and yet we still have cars. You know, nobody's passed legislation to ban cars because that many people are dying. So let's just keep our heads about us and realize that, you know, when we look at the debt situation in the United States, if we want to fix it, we have to be prepared to fix it ourselves. We have to be prepared to take responsibility for the debt that we have ourselves. And we got to quit blaming people who would make things available to us, because those people, assuming they're not breaking any laws, are just doing what you and I do. They're making a living. They're operating their business model, just like you and me. But you and I can choose not to do business with them. That's our choice. 29 after, I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. I'll be right back. Smiling for my head to her feet. I said, hey, now, what is this? Now, baby, maybe she's in need.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.